tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go. Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Natalia Hansen. Natalia is with Humane Canada. Humane Canada is the National Federation of Humane Societies and SPCAs. They convene Canada's animal welfare sector and advocate for the government to create stronger animal protection legislation. They release annual reports such as national shelter statistics and lead a progressive report called the Indicators for Humane Canada. They also recognize the largest and best attended conference for the animal welfare sector in Canada. They released cat-specific reports every 5 years called Cats in Canada, where they look at our country's progress regarding cat welfare and what still needs to be done. Natalia, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Stacey. Thank you so much. We're super excited to be here.
Excellent. Well, you are the marketing coordinator for the Summit for Animals. But before we jump right into all those details, Natalia, if you could just share with us, please let us know, how'd you get to be so passionate about cats?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I never grew up with cats, unlike other people. I was kind of scared of cats because I didn't know anything about them. And I used to think that cats' poop was like rabbit poop. That's how little I knew about cats. I knew nothing. And then when I was about maybe 19 or 20, a friend of mine had a cat. I saw the litter box. I realized it was not like rabbit poop. Huge shock. And then I went to Canada to become a veterinary assistant. I went from Columbia as an international student. And that's where I really started to get hands-on experience with cats. And I discovered this beautiful, intriguing, complex, but fun and loving creatures. And I jumped from not knowing anything about cats to being a full-on cat lady.
What does being a full-on cat lady mean to you?
There was a phase in my life where any sort of cat paraphernalia I had, clothing, mugs, I used to speak with cat puns all the time. Like, it wasn't amazing. It was amusing or perfect. You know, that was me for a while. I have to say one of my biggest achievements personally and professionally was in 2016 when I had just become involved with Humane Canada, and we were hosting the conference, which we'll get to eventually, but I brokered a deal to bring little Bub, may she rest in peace, to Canada on her first and only visit. So we had a festival by then that was a cat film festival, basically, and it was to raise funds throughout Canada for our member societies. And little Bub came to Toronto, and it was a huge success. It was sold out. And it was her only time here in Canada. So I'm very happy and proud that I was able to bring internet sensation, little Bub. And yeah, that was like the level of cat lady that I was at.
Many of our listeners are not from Canada, so they may not be very familiar with Humane Canada. What, in greater detail than what I just read in the bio, specifically, what does Humane Canada do for animals across the nation?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So very similarly to what you share in the intro, we are the Federation of SPCAs and Humane Societies in Canada. So we advocate at the national level for stronger legislation, as you said. So we've been involved in the passing of bills that have become law. One of them, for example, a couple of years ago was the banning of the captivity of whales and dolphins for entertainment purposes. That was a big, big milestone. And there were a few organizations in Canada that came together to make this happen. And we represent the interest of humane societies and SPCAs. They are our members and our associates. So our membership is not comprised of individuals like you and I. No, they are the X or Y Humane Society or the X or Y SPCA. So a perfect example of us advocating on their behalf was, for example, when COVID hit. And I'm not sure how it worked in the States, but here in Canada, it was a matter of, okay, which businesses are essential and which aren't, right? So non-essential businesses had to shut down. And we were advocating to government saying, okay, humane societies are the social safety net for animals and also for people, really, who have animals. So we helped to ensure that they could remain open and in operation. So in a nutshell, that's what we do. And then, of course, as you said as well, we put together conferences and events, one of them being the Summit for Animals, which is the largest and best attended of its kind in Canada. Happens once a year and it brings together the sector. So people from different areas within the sector come together. So, of course, the SPCAs, the Humane Societies, we have policymakers, legislators, academics, veterinarians, etc.
How many humane societies or nonprofit organizations are out there that are dedicated in Canada that are dedicated to cats and dogs or companion animals?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I can tell you from our membership and associateship numbers, we have approximately 75 organizations. There are more than that, of course. And there are some provinces that have more representation of SPCAs, humane societies, municipal shelters, rescues. Ontario, for example, one of them, of course. And then when you go to the northern provinces or the territories, the number kind of starts to decrease.
So you mentioned that you have a conference that your organization runs. I know Kristen, our technical tabby, she was there at the 2024 conference and she had a grand time. She learned a lot of fabulous information. You are in the process of planning for your 2025 conference. Tell us the details and why would folks who are interested in community cats want to go to this conference?
Yes, very excited. Of course, I am biased because my job with Humane Canada is specifically in the planning and the production and the execution of this conference. So as I was saying before, it happens only once a year. It's called the Summit for Animals. Some people who may be familiar with Humane Canada may remember that it used to be called the National Animal Welfare Conference, and it's been going on since 2014. So over 10 years, once a year, you're right. We have Kristen representing the Community Cats podcast. She said it's her favorite. I hope she meant that. And next year, we are going to Montreal, Quebec. Montreal is an amazing city. We've hosted it there once before in 2019. Lots to do in Montreal. So that in and of itself is a big reason to come. And the reason why I think people who are interested in community cats should come is because this is the place to convene and to meet with like-minded people who are working in different areas within Canada and also internationally, because we have guests coming from the States. We've had guests as far from Australia coming to our conference. So being able to really come together and pick each other's brains and really say, okay, what's going on in your neck of the woods? How are you working on TNR, for example? What's going on? Are you doing ear tipping, for instance? What are the best practices? So there's really a lot of opportunities for knowledge, for networking. And what we hear a lot from people who have attended the conference is that they get so much out of not just the sessions and the workshops and the panels, but those one-on-one conversations that happen outside of the session rooms. So next year, we are going to have several education topics and some that will be of particular interest to people who are working with and for cat welfare would be, for example, animal care and behavior. We have community-based sheltering. We also have shelter and community medicine. So those are just three educational topics that I can think of right off the bat that would be of interest to people working with and for cats.
Here in the States, we have not enough, but quite a few veterinary practices that are focused on spay-neuter only, high-quality, high-volume spay-neuter clinics. Is that present in Canada also? Are there specific spay-neuter clinics across the country?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe it's pretty similar to what you've just described in the United States. At the conference in 2024, for example, we had a couple of sessions that were focused specifically on providing accessible spay-neuter access, because I think this is also similar to what's been going on in the States. When the pandemic happened, veterinary clinics struggled because they were short on staff and people got a lot of animals because they were home, right? So the scale was not balanced and that left a lot of spaying and neuter kind of to the side because vets just couldn't cope. It's obviously not their fault. They just couldn't, right? So there are some cities, absolutely, some municipalities within Canada that have their specific spay-neuter programs. There are some mobile units as well. I myself used to be a volunteer with the Welland SPCA mobile outreach unit. At that time, it was the only one in Ontario that could operate at the province level. So we would go to, for example, First Nations reserves and bring this service on a personal level as well. That's a huge passion of mine, spaying and neutering, because I know that's the most humane and the most effective way of controlling the overpopulation issue of dogs and cats all over the world, really.
You mentioned on your website there was something about collaborating with cat welfare initiatives. So I just want to mention that as a potential resource for folks to check out down the line. We'll make sure we get that in the show notes. But it seems like it's important for the Humane Canada website to profile some of the challenges for cats in Canada. I don't know if you want to expand on that or not.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, Stacey, you'll have the link in the show notes, but our website is humanecanada.ca. And this particular document we're talking about, it's called Collaboration in Cat Welfare Initiatives. It's under our news and reports section on the homepage of the website. And this document is basically a how-to guide that is a result of a workshop that brought together experts from across Canada who have had successful cat welfare programs. And we've applied the common success factor of collaboration into this document. And I think that this doesn't apply just to Canada. If there are people listening in the United States and in other countries, please go ahead and take a look at this document because I'm sure you can get something out of it. So this guidance includes best practices. It identifies the key elements of successful collaboration and provides advice to help cat welfare organizations engage with stakeholders in their communities.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if your whole TNR team was on the same page? Imagine your staff and volunteers mastering trapping best practices, prepping cats properly for clinic arrival, and making everyone's job easier. Would you like to give them a toolbox of tips and tricks to refer to whenever trapping gets tough? Our monthly virtual TNR workshops are perfect for group training, covering everything from TNR philosophy to planning, equipment use, public relations, because we are all going to run into those stubborn neighbors, and cat care tips, plus more. With Q&A sessions, handouts, customized content for your program, your team will be ready to successfully reduce the number of free-roaming cats in your community. Ready to turn your trappers into a team? Great! Email Stacy at communitycatspodcast.com or call 978-239-2090 for details.
Do you need TNR resources to share on demand? We've got you covered. Check out our Everything TNR playlist, available now on the Community Cats Podcast YouTube channel. This comprehensive playlist includes all of our free webinars presented in partnership with Neighborhood Cats. Topics include tips for trappers and colony caregivers, best practices for targeted TNR, return to field programs, and much more. There's something for everyone who wants to help outdoor cats and kittens. Free to stream anytime. Just visit www.communitycats.com/TNR-playlist. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together, whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering. People can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. Hashtag be a helper.
We touched upon this a little bit with regards to the conference, but access to care is a huge topic here in the United States. And I would assume it's probably the same way in Canada. There have been discussions about how there's not enough veterinarians coming out of vet schools. And so I'm just curious, is Humane Canada connecting? Talk about connections and collaborating. Are you collaborating and connecting with veterinary schools to see they're able to produce more students? I don't even know how many veterinary schools are in Canada. But I would assume if you're feeling a shortage, then there might be some conversations there. Or how are you dealing with the vet shortage that we're seeing here in the States?
Yeah, so first of all, you are correct. That has absolutely happened in Canada as well. It's something unprecedented because, for example, I went to school to become a veterinary assistant. And this was in 2010. When I graduated, we were fighting for jobs. Now it's the opposite. It's the employers that are fighting for us. It's so different. And we've absolutely heard from our members, associates, who are again humane societies, SPCAs, rescues, etc., that they are struggling. There's a very powerful quote, for example, from Deanna Thompson. She's the executive director of the Alberta Animal Rescue Crew Society and one of her members. And she said, "I feel like I'm standing in a room screaming and nobody's listening. Shelters across the country are in crisis and we're just not seeing the response." So it's almost like shelters have come back 10 years. In terms of working directly with veterinary schools, this I think it's a little different in Canada compared to the United States because there are not enough veterinary faculties in our country. I will double check these facts, but I want to say there are only about 5 veterinary schools in Canada. And Canada is a big country, so we're just not producing enough veterinarians or fast enough. And I think it's also a matter of not just pumping them out like a pipeline, but you have to remember too that they're new grads, they're not going to be as experienced or as skilled. So I think that there needs to be a balance in pairing new grads and, of course, giving them that job opportunity and putting them in the work field because we need them, but pairing them with seasoned vets who can train them and who can guide them. It's been interesting, for lack of a better word, to counteract those kinds of crisis moments. Humane Canada, for example, has a really very cool program. It's called the National Pet Food Bank Program. So we've seen some success stories coming out of that. We've seen the need because when we launch, it works on a granting basis. So when we open up granting opportunities, we get the applications. We see the need from humane societies, SPCAs, shelters, municipalities, etc., across the country who are saying we need that. Because as you know as well, and this ties back to the human-animal bond. Sometimes keeping a pet at home where they are loved, where they're safe, it's a matter of providing them with a bowl of food. You know, that could make a difference between someone feeling like they have to surrender their pet because they can't afford it and keeping them at home. We want them to stay home if they're safe and they're loved there.
Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. There's so many more aspects to the conversation rather than just trap and surrender or surrender in general. There are many ways to be able to have the community manage and absorb the demands of the cats in the community and be able to handle the population of the cats that are there in a variety of different ways that don't involve euthanasia.
Absolutely. And I want to add something here too, and is that I know that our humane societies, shelters, SPCAs, etc., across Canada are doing a fantastic job in communicating with the people that they are not the enemy. I feel like some people may still have the perception of the humane society as the dog pound, you know, the dog catcher and the mass euthanasias and things like that. And we want people to know that these places are, as I said before, the social safety net for animals and their caretakers. So if they're struggling, they may feel ashamed of making a phone call and saying, "Hey, do you have a food bank program? Do you have a low-cost spay neuter clinic? Do you have free microchips, etc.?" They may feel ashamed, but it's perfectly fine. It's totally okay. So I want to encourage people who are listening to do that, to rely on and lean in on their local humane societies. And also, after saying that, if you're also in the capacity of making a donation to your local humane society or SPCA, please do so because that's how they can continue their operations afloat, really.
There are other also models too. I'm also president of Positive Pantry here in Vermont, and we have pet food, but it's funneled through the Vermont Food Bank. The humane societies in Vermont have pet food pantries too that they support. But we want to encourage folks that are at the, we'll call it the human food pantry, to also have access to pet food while they're there so that then it's a one-stop situation. The food is accessible and the distribution that's going to happen anyway is just putting a couple of bags of cat and dog food in there too. And it works for very seamless operation within the state and then help support about 240 different food shelves around the state with Positive Pantry just helping on the funding side, which means we do fundraising all the time. but we don't have to work on the operation side. So there's some really interesting models out there about how you can get national or a pretty significant target area coverage for pet food out into the community. And I think it is important that we get our pet services sort of immersed in our social services that operate just in our day-to-day lives. So another dream that I have are things like our local libraries should have microchip scanners and they can get loaned out there so that when people are trying to determine whether an animal is lost or not, you know, they can easily access a microchip scanner. Just trying to get all of these things that we do for our animals interwoven within the social sector so that then there isn't an opportunity for any segmentation out there.
Yeah, I love that. And I love you brought up social services because, for example, at this year's conference 2024, which happened in Halifax in May, we had a session from the Calgary Humane Society in Calgary, Alberta. And she touched on that, on seeing humane societies more of a social services kind of model. I sadly did not get a chance to attend, of course, working at the conference. I'm behind the scenes, so I don't get to actually sit in on the sessions, but we heard fantastic feedback from that session. So that seems to be really a trend or the way that people who like us who are working in animal welfare services are kind of gravitating towards. And another perfect example of how to combine social services and animal services is, for example, another area of work of Humane Canada is the violence link, which is the known connection between violence against animals and vulnerable people, such as children and women. And we work closely, for example, with shelters that house women in crisis. So that is a great example of how two areas that sometimes you wouldn't think can come together do come together, because a lot of times victims or survivors of domestic violence delay leaving because of their pets, because they don't want their aggressor to take it out on their pets, or because they fear for their pet safety. So it's how can we work together with these women shelters, for example, so that they can house their pets as well, whether at their location or find temporary housing at foster homes, for instance, so that this person can exit that abusive situation with the peace of mind of knowing that their pets are well taken care of.
Really fantastic information. Natalia, if folks are interested in finding out more about the conference, how would they do that, or about Humane Canada in general?
For sure. So our website is humanecanada.ca. And if you want to go straight to the conference information, it's humanecanada.ca/summit. That's S-U-M-M-I-T. And that's where you can find all of the information and details about the conference. It's going to happen in Montreal, Quebec, April 27th, 28th, 29th, next year, 2025. And registration is opening soon, next month in November. So take advantage of that, because we are going to have opening early bird, actually super early bird rates. So that is the best savings that we will offer for registration. And yeah, we wanna see everybody there. We wanna see more representation from our folks in the United States.
Excellent. Anything else you'd want to share with our listeners today before we close out?
Wow, I feel like I share some really nuggets of wisdom throughout. But again, to package everything up, first and foremost, come to our conference, Humane Canada Summit for Animals, April 2025 in Montreal. And like I said before, if you're listening and if you are a pet guardian or pet owner and if you're struggling at any point, please do rely on your local Humane Society, on your SPCA. Don't be afraid. You're not the only one. And you may find that support that you need to keep your pet with you and to just get you by. Maybe it's just a phase you're going through. So they're there to support you. They're there for a reason. And then lastly, support them if you can with a monetary donation. And if you cannot, then donating your time and talent or sharing their posts on social media, helping spread the word, that helps as well. And I think that's it.
Excellent. Well, Natalia, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on the show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you all in Montreal next year.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.